Blog Talk Radio.
Wisdom. Joan Adams and I host the show, but Joan is away this evening. Our guest this evening is Gia Coombs Ramanez, otherwise known as NRG on Squidoo.com. Gia makes such beautiful lenses and has a real artistic balance in all of the beautiful lenses I have seen. And as I read the wide variety of topics and pages that Gia has released to the universe, the term, quote, crystalline consciousness technique leapt out at me, and I want to know more about that. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. Please join me in welcoming Gia Coombs Ramanez. Good evening.
There's no accent.
Hello there.
I can hear me okay.
Is this Gia?
This is Gia.
Hello. Nice to hear your voice.
Thank you. It's great to hear you too.
You're breaking up a little bit. I wonder what's going on.
Well, I'm on a cell phone, and I can't even get into the internet part of things. Around the house a little bit.
Okay. Sometimes moving around really works.
I'm sorry, what did you say?
Sometimes moving around helps the signal.
Yeah, okay.
Always a technical problem.
Yes, I wasn't expecting the internet to not to be.
It shouldn't be doing that. It shouldn't be doing it, but
it's on my end. So,
can you hear me?
Not good. Am I still breaking up?
Do you have a landline?
I do, but I don't have long distance on it, and I don't have a desk.
Can you call in on another phone?
Not totally possible right now.
Okay.
All right, so am I still sounding?
Yeah, it's very hard to hear you. It's just cutting out and so forth. And let's see. Can you, I don't know if turning down your computer, do you say you're not even at a computer? I think I heard that.
Yeah, I'm just at the computer world.
If you are near a computer, just turn down the volume. But I don't think that's the problem, but sometimes, you know, that helps.
I think the problem is that I'm on a cell phone. In the middle of Montana.
Mm-hmm.
So, I can drive around and get better reception and then call you back.
Okay, try that.
All right.
We'll try that.
Okay. Carry on the conversation without me. Go ahead, talk about
okay.
it.
Okay. I'll just talk. We're having technical.
Sorry for the confusion on this end.
Do you want to just hang up and call again?
I will.
Okay. Very good. We're having some technical difficulties this evening, but that is not the first time, and nor will it ever be the last. But difficult to get the drift of the conversation just because of the way the phone was cutting out, and maybe by hanging up and calling back, we'll have some luck. But it's really interesting to be on the Squidoo community, and we're wildly making lenses, and sometimes we have to come up for breathers and see what other people are doing. And Gia has made the most beautiful lenses, and she is an energy healer, and she also does quite a lot of other things as well. So as I was saying, the thing about Squidoo that's so interesting is that we are all eclectic in our interests. And sometimes our topics dovetail with other people, but even so, how we express the topics that we write about or the topics I write about, and somebody else may write on the same topic, but we do it a lot differently because of our styles and because of our upbringings and because of just the way we are, basically. Different. We're all different. But then again, we're all the same. Let me see if anybody's in the chat room. Ah, Jewels of Awe. And somebody else is on the other line, but you're probably just listening. Then that's okay, too. The call-in number this evening is 347-205-9200. And I'm just going to write something here in the chat room. There we go. Just see who else might be on the line. There we go. There we go. See if she's back. Yes, as Jules have all just said in the chat room, she loves Gia and she loves her lenses. Very, very beautiful lenses. Well put together, just totally, absolutely wonderful. I was interested in how she discussed selling or buying real estate in Mexico. That was that would be something that would be pretty cool to kind of move out of the country sometime. She said she lived in Mexico for 30 years.
Don't worry about
that is just so cool. My sister recently bought some land in Mexico, and they're planning to build some housing there, and I think they have people already there who are looking over the land for them while they live in Oregon most of the year, and then they go to Mexico around this time of the year, actually. And mainly stay outside and live on fruits, and so cool. So living in Mexico for 30 years might be something to really consider. Like, I think my sister doesn't really want to live there 100% of the time, but I think her husband might want to live there 100% of the time. But I think they can reach an agreement on that situation. That's not going to be a problem. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. And speaking of my sister, I just wanted to make a comment about my brother, who will be playing Ebenezer Scrooge on the Christmas Carol here on this show in 2 weeks. That would be December the 15th. And we're all totally excited about that. He plays not only Ebenezer Scrooge, but he plays all of the roles in The Christmas Carol. He has condensed The Christmas Carol into a one-hour performance, and he will be playing, I think it just started. He lives in Norfolk, Virginia, and he'll be starting his many, many performances of the Christmas Carol all through the Norfolk area. And it's very well received. Everybody just totally loves it. And I can't believe we're going to have him on this show doing that beautiful performance. So, and then next week, which would be the 8th of December, Astrology's Astrologer will be doing my brother's chart, D.D. Delaney's chart, probably comparing it to Charles Dickens, I think. I think that is her plan. But we don't really know what her plan is, but he's going to be calling in. D.D. Delaney, my brother, will be calling in and talking with Sheila, who is Astrology's Astrologer, about the chart, and we'll get a really interesting conglomeration of synchronicities happening at that time. And then we're going to take the week off during the holiday week, which would be the week of the 25th, and come back the following Tuesday when Mr. 2020 will be coming on the show. And I think at that point we'll be discussing goals and we'll be discussing what our plans are for the year 2010, because we have lots of plans and we need to solidify what it is we want to do. My basic plan for the new year is to just write prayers. I've decided I'm just going to keep it simple. I'm going to focus on my prayer blog over at Krabby's Beach and write a prayer a day for 360 days. No matter what happens, I'm going to be writing prayers. So stay tuned for that. I think it would be really fun to see what kind of products you can turn into these prayers. I mean, how they turn the prayers into what kind of products. You know, you can turn the prayers into a book. You could turn the prayers into Zazzle cards. Zazzle products, posters, Zazzle poster. I don't know if they make posters or not. And some of the pictures I put on the blog, I could make into postage stamps matching with the cards, with the poems inside, and with the pictures that are on the blog that accompany the prayer to be put on the actual card with the prayer inside and put the stamp on. I just think it'd be so cool. I really have to focus to do that because I'm not really there yet. But Zazzle is a beautiful platform. I was very happy recently to see that there was some racist stuff going around about Obama that they completely cut off and they wouldn't allow it on their site. And that would be our President Barack Obama. And whereas Cafe Press did not cut it off. So from that, I just think that hateful things that are racist kind of stuff if Zazzle would have allowed that on their site, I wouldn't have been enthusiastic about having anything to do with them again. But thankfully, they cut it off, and I'm very happy about that. So the call-in number is 347-205-9200. My name is, I'm part of the, I'm Moo of Moon, Moo and You. Joan Adams is taking the evening off. And Gia is having some technical difficulties. I'm sorry to say that if you've tuned in or you're just listening to me going on and on and on, that's just because Gia is not, is having some technical difficulties. So I will have to say that I hope that she does find a phone that she can use. And in the meantime, let me see what else I can talk about. this evening, before the show began, and before it was not exactly at dusk, it was a little bit before dusk, I was out with my little dogs, not really that little, getting wood for the wood stove, and the moon was rising over the Conestoga River, and I got some beautiful pictures of the moon reflected in the river, and just totally, totally beautiful. And I'm just hoping that I can get that picture up on, well, I actually put it up on Facebook this evening and want to put it up on, to accompany it with a prayer this tomorrow morning. I think that would be very, very beautiful use of that. Oh, I took a whole bunch of them, but this, and my, I took the actual picture of the moon right by my most favorite locust tree. It is, it looks like the sun. It looks like a tiny sun. And the branches of the tree are just kind of starkly there. The tree has already, of course, lost its leaves. Here, I live in Pennsylvania, and we experience acute seasonal changes here. Okay, hang on just a minute, and I think we'll see how G is doing.
Hello
there. Oh, fantastic.
I'm not even out of breath.
I can hear it. I can hear you. That's great. I've been rambling on here, I think.
Good job, Kate.
Oh, it's good to hear your voice. So how are you this evening?
I'm very fine after the little technological bobble.
Well, that's not to get all stressed out about. You did well. I don't know what you did, though. It's the same phone number.
Is it really?
Well, maybe it's the same area code.
Same area code, yeah.
So as I was saying in the introduction, as I was looking over your lenses, Jules of All is in the chat room, by the way. And she is very excited about you being here. But as I was going over your lenses, and I said this in the introduction, I came upon, and I think AJ told me about this too, so that's why it leapt out at me, the crystalline consciousness technique. And I am so interested. It's a great name. You know, if you chose the name, or maybe you didn't, but it certainly has a lot of energy there, you know? So what is that?
That is something I co-founded and with another woman. Actually, we were getting ready to teach a class together, and we sat down to meditate, and the next thing we knew, this protocol, an energy healing protocol, dropped in. So we scribbled down madly. It didn't really come with a manual. It just came with step one, step two, step three.
Mm-hmm.
Then we ran off to try it on each other. And from that has developed a whole organization and four levels of classes along with a teacher training and hang on one second. I'm going to put on my headset so I can get into the chat room.
Oh, great, great. Mimi's here, too. Hello, Mimi. So it's sort of a channeled information.
It was
like.
Very much, although 5 years ago I would have never used that word, but that's pretty much what it was, or intuited, you know, came in through guided intuition, so... And I was doing a lot of energy healing before that came in. I'd started a energy healing school.
Oh.
That didn't go anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then this dropped in, and my whole life sort of got rearranged for a couple years with it. But I'm pretty, sorry, I just ran up the stairs really quick, so now I'm like,
Not a problem.
Now I'm breathing hard. I think I have internet, too. Okay. So, anyway, that's been the journey for the past 5 years. It's been such an amazing journey to discover this. I knew a lot about energy healing before this came in, and then I promptly found out I knew nothing. It was a whole different protocol than I had ever, or type of energy work than I had ever experienced before. So that's what I do.
What is it exactly? What do you do it personally for yourself, and you do it help others to you teach it for other people?
Yes. Yeah, so this protocol, and for short sake, we call it the CCT protocol.
The protocol is taught to others. You can use it in a distance format. You can use it in on table work or somebody sitting in a chair. Basically, it creates an energetic alignment for the person who's receiving a treatment. And you can you don't just necessarily have to do body work with it. You can use it to help manifest, do spiritual growth, whatever your intent is. It's driven by a person's conscious intent.
Mm-hmm.
My goodness, I've got internet and telephone. It's a CCT miracle.
Right. Sometimes, you know, waiting for something is just the way. Sometimes when you wait for something, it becomes even more wonderful. Yeah, so... Can you do distant healing with this?
Yes, we do. I personally, in my own work, living out in the middle of Montana, there's not a lot of clients, you know, to be had. And so I work with people all over the world. And CCT, the protocol for it, is my primary modality. If I want to use other modalities like Reiki, I'll bring that in during the point of intention, which is there's three phases. Phase one, phase two are preparatory phases.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cute. Whose dog is that?
Oh, it's my doggies, my dog.
and I should give, let me give you everybody a website. They can actually try a free session on ccthealing.com, and then you go to free mini session or something like that, it says, and it'll lead you through a guided audio healing, and you bring in your own intent so you can redo it as long as you've got something new you want to work on.
CCT healing, what was that? CCT?
ccthealing.com.
That's great. So I'm putting this up in the chat room.
Oh, good.
There we go. Nice. Well, healing is really something I'm totally interested in, and I know that a lot of your lenses deal with that, or probably, I don't know, I didn't get a chance to look at all of them, but it seems like you concentrate pretty heavily on healing, self-healing, and the transformation of self. And that recent blog, lens that you wrote about a year, 2010, I think that, and it sounds like you're into astrology a little bit.
It's not traditional astrology, and astrologers around the world would, you know, throw stones at me if they ever thought I was actually calling myself an astrologer. I'm not a trained astrologer, one of the tools, so crystalline consciousness technique has many different tools, and one of them are those beautiful charts that's on that lens, those are called soul charts, and I use two of those four different soul charts are used for the 2010 energy reading and alignment. One of them works with the different planetary aspects that all affect us, and the other works through the 13 creational steps that every endeavor, 13 is a very sacred number in the Mayan cosmology, and this isn't necessarily Mayan, but it's very in tune with the Mayan information. So those two different charts are used, and the planetary aspects are, they're balanced. That's what they are. They're balanced. So I've never had much patience for astrology that says, you know, oh, this is what's in your chart, and that's it. You got to deal with that for the rest of your life. I think with energy work, you can always soften the influences, you can master them, you can shift them around. Like, for example, Mercury retrograde is something that many people have heard of, and it's a time when electronics go haywire or
communications, yeah.
Yeah, communications. You're not supposed to write any contracts or sign any contracts during Mercury retrograde. I don't have any problem with Mercury retrograde. I'm able to shift the energy so that it doesn't affect me negatively. So I come from that mindset when I talk about doing an energy reading in alignment to the 2010 energies. We're in this time period heading up to 2012
mm-hmm.
when it's all about transformation. And when I talk about transformation, a lot of people talk about conscious awareness or spiritual awakening. I'm really talking about energetic transformation. That's really my main area. That is my expertise. I read energy, and particularly I read vibration, the vibration of things. So it's a very different type of work than, say, that a clairvoyant psychic would use or other types of intuitives.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, we have the astrologer's astrology's astrologer. Her name is Sheila. She comes on the show once a month. And she's a trained astrologer, but she's totally positive about everybody's chart. And whatever reading she does, totally positive, which is, to me, a breath of fresh air when it comes to astrology, because they can be very negative in the way many astrologers can be extremely negative in the way they interpret things. And like you say, you can... And so does Sheila say that you can transcend what is in your chart and learn. You have to do the work. I mean, this is your mandala, and you have to do the work of what has been given to you at birth. And it doesn't have to be hard work. You know, you can have it be a joyful, playful thing, too. But go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was interested in hearing that. I had started to listen to one of her shows that you had with her, and then I got interrupted and didn't get to come back to it. It was the one about Michael Jackson and somebody
James,
else she was playing.
James Arthur Ray.
And I was like, oh, I got to hear what she says about James Arthur Ray, poor guy. Because I work with energy, for me, I'm like, if you get the energetics in place, then it's not so much work. Then it's very easy. So we all shift and transform through our energetic nature first. Our conscious mind, we often think it starts with our conscious mind. It really ends with our conscious mind. The conscious mind's the last one on the block to know what's going on. By the time it comes into your conscious mind, you've already shifted and changed through all the different levels of your being. So I start with the energy because that's the most subtle and therefore it's the easiest to shift. And energy is all physics, astro, quantum physics. Physicists will tell you energy just shifts simply with intent and observing it. So... And it's not about manipulating. It's really about just coming more into alignment with who we really are at our core essence. It's that simple, and yet it's also that profound.
Yes, it is. It is not difficult. It sounds like you just do the work. You become conscious and become joyful. You know, you have to become somehow... you know, you have to get into a space where you are enjoying the process. Because if it becomes hard work and all this stuff, I think you've gotten out of alignment right there.
Absolutely, it is all about the joy. It's like, oh, I'm a joy chaser, you know, and it's, I don't know if it's because I'm growing into my elder years, I'm 54, but... if something makes me stress, which makes all the brain go into the stress chemicals, I'm like, man, I'm not interested anymore. If I have to stress over this, I'm just not going to play. So that's my own personal response to things that cause stress. And either sometimes you can't change the situation, therefore you get out of it. But sometimes you can change your interior response to it. And that's always my first. Now, see, so here's what happens in the weird world of Gia, of energy. As I'm talking, I'm also watching how energy is shifting. And there was just a huge shift with somebody in the chat room about something that's going on. It's because all of us are, because we're connected through the radio show, we have energetic communication that's going on that's out beyond these words. And somebody just received some information that they needed that helped them kind of shift into a more joyful or expanded frame of mind. So,
yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know what that was about because I'm busy blah, blah, blah. But someone else does, so that, and sometimes we don't consciously know what it was. But if we feel the shift, that's the indicator that, okay, something was just taken care of.
Yeah, I think that it's not important to be into the detail of why or how it happened, but just to be joyful that it did happen.
That's so true, Kate. One of the things that really hangs people up is when they have to know why.
Yeah.
I call that the biological mind. You know, the brain that comes with this biological body, it always wants to know why. It wants to compare. It wants to do. And those are mental activities that are important to the survival of, you know, the biological human. But once you realize, oh, that's just my biological mind, it's got to know why, I can let that go and say, I'm just going to trust. I'm trusting that the universe is a good universe, that it wants a good outcome for me, that it's on my side. And that's what I work with. So every time something comes up that's maybe a little challenging, I'm like, all right, well, this is an opportunity to learn and to grow and have a good outcome from all of this.
Yeah.
I just let go of the need to have to know why it's happening that way. I just move forward with faith. And I don't, there was a time, it was a very dark time in my life, and it seemed like everything was crashing. My son had a lot of problems. We had huge financial challenges. We had family issues. It was just one thing after another. And that's when I started just like, you know what, I'm just going to believe there's going to be a happy ending here. Do I know for sure? I don't. But by choosing to believe, I activated a very powerful, I activated spiritual free will and choice for one thing. And I was healthier inside because that's the direction I was pointing in. And as they say, I made myself right, you know, things have been amazing since that time 10 years ago.
So you made a decision.
Yeah. I wasn't going to let all those challenges. Yeah, I wasn't going to pay twice. That's what I said. You know, the first time you go through the experience, and then the second time you haul it around with you for the rest of your life. You know.
Yeah.
And I've had tremendous things. Oh, my gosh, my 30s were between, you know, getting a divorce and starting all over again. And and my parents who were upset about the divorce. I had these amazingly challenging things that happened. And I wouldn't choose to go through them again today, but they really helped me locate my own spiritual gifts and be able to bring them out now. So,
well, that reminds me of something that happened. I can't go into great detail because it's about a patient, and I'm a nurse, so that's why it's about a patient. So anyway, she had the most horrific thing happen to her. And what is so interesting is that if you're dealing with things in a spiritual way, the what appears to be horrific or to the world, and you're the one going through it, you know, it's a process, you're closer to the divine, you're somehow connected to the power that is greater than yourself, and it's not horrific to you, but the world sees it as horrific. So anyway, she was telling me that she wouldn't even, if she had it to do over again, she would go through it again because she was so close to this divine sense that everything, that she felt protected and she felt that everything was really okay. And she had revelations about how her life was going to go, and she had an entry point, a spiritual entry point that she wouldn't have had if it hadn't been for this so-called horrific thing that the world likes to call horrific. You know, anything dealing with death is horrific in the eyes of the world. So I just thought that was fantastic, totally fantastic.
That is a really, really wonderful, what do they call it, the attitude of gratitude. To approach that kind of thing. And I forget, it was somebody like Barbara Marks Hubbard or somebody, one of the great women whose response to someone saying that they had cancer was, "Oh, how wonderful." because it is that point. You get to step out of the mundane world and you're right there with, you know, the power of the universe that's there. You become very conscious and aware of it if you really dive into it, you know. So,
yeah, that's right. That's right. So, I think that it's all good, and it can be very, very intense and dramatic. But we have to every day start again with the way that we live our lives. It's a process. It's not something you can just say, "Well, I did it, and see you later." You know, it's an everyday affair, in my opinion. And so, I mean, the patient I was just describing is unusual. People don't look at life that way in general.
Yeah, very true. But to open to the joy, you know, and allow the vital life force energy to flow through. There are a lot of people who, I was at a class one time, just to give a short history of me. I started in massage school, but I was always attracted to the energy work. So I kept studying more and more kinds of different types of energy work, and I went a lot into cranial sacral therapy. One of the classes they had was somato-emotional release, and I watched the instructor with one of the students. He was a six-year-old German man, and she took him back to when he was in utero, and he was able to, she would ask him these questions like, "Well, you know, how did you feel? What was going on?" And he goes, "Well, I'm scared. I don't want to be born." And she goes, "Why?" And he says, "I think there's something wrong with me." And so they, as they progressed through the whole birth thing, what was discovered was he was born in the pre-Nazi time, and the Nazis had no tolerance for children who were born deformed or had some kind of challenge. And his mother was worried she'd have a deformed child because she was 27 and old. That was the mentality back then in the 20s. So they go through the whole thing, and he's birthed, and he says his next memory is being in the crib, and his mother and his grandmother are patting him and smiling down on him. And so then the instructor asks him, "So at what point did you decide to live?" And there's this great big long pause. This is a man who's 60, and he goes, "Oh, my gosh, I never did." He'd never turned around that I've got 1 foot in, 1 foot out of life for, that started since he was in utero, because he was picking up all of his mother's thoughts and feelings of fear that she had about, you know, not having a healthy baby. So it's amazing what we hold within us and how energy can help that surface and move it on out, so it's just not, you know, lugging that we have to lug it around anymore.
I was raised with a homeopathic physician. He was our family doctor, and his wife was so much into what the vibrations that a woman carries through her pregnancy, that people really need. It would be a tremendous, in my opinion, time for meditation, you know, to just go inward. And I would think that it would be great not to work and maybe go to the mountaintop and really get in touch with, you know, nirvana during that nine-month period, just for the sake of not only yourself, but for that little growing being within yourself. Not everybody can do such a thing, of course, but I believe that that is really an important time, and so many people don't take advantage of it.
I was blessed to get to be with my daughter, who's 27 and has a one-year-old, and I got to be with her through most of her pregnancy, and she was very much like you described, very serene, very meditative, didn't let, you know, discord or things come in to upset her. And she asked me to be her doula, which I don't really know about how to be a doula, but I know how to be an energy facilitator. So I was the energy doula. And she and her partner had a water birth, and it was the most amazing experience. There was one point when she got a little hung up and I helped her, but most of all, she and her partner did it all. And even the midwife just only stepped in if needed, you know, but mostly she let them do it. Very empowering experience. And I remember, so Julian, my little grandbaby, when he's born, and he comes through this water, and then I watched how the midwife kept everything very calm and serene. And I thought, what an amazing way to start life, where you're not bombarded through your senses and you become immediately sensory defended because you're so open, you know, as a little baby. So sounds are louder and lights are brighter. And I really saw, you know, a lot of our children right now have difficulties, everything from oppositional defiance disorder to, you know, the ADD, ADHD, those kinds of things, learning disabilities. And a lot of it has to do with this sensory defendedness that can occur at birth. So,
Yes. They say that birth is the most traumatic event of a lifetime. And death is the opposite. It's a very, everybody, of course, fears death, but in reality, the actual dying process is completely calm and easy. But it sounds like was it your grandson that was born in the water?
My grandson Julian.
So he did not have a traumatic birth, is my guess.
He did not. He was really...
No.
And, you know, it's funny because he's been a very, very calm baby. And my daughter would be like, oh, he's really fussy now. And I'll be like, what, those little sounds in the background? That's really fussing? Oh, my goodness.
that's
not fussing, you know. So,
oh, that sounds lovely. It's a lovely story.
Yeah.
Everybody must have cried at the birth of little Julian. Cried with great ecstasy, yeah.
It was so sweet. And, you know, in a normal hospital, he was born in a birthing center. In a normal hospital, they immediately weigh the baby and poke him with, you know, some shot or something. And I was calling people, telling them, like, well, how much is he weighing? And I was like, I don't know. The midwife hasn't done that yet. She wants to make sure that the mother, you know, baby bonding occurs first.
Yeah.
So they had hours of just quiet time, quiet bonding time together. It's very sweet.
Oh, it is. That is just beautiful. Well, I'm a labor and delivery nurse, so I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, I wish I worked in a birthing center. It would be much more my style. But we work in a really busy labor and delivery unit. But everybody I work with, the nurses I work with, we're all very sensitive to the energy and the beauty of birth. Certainly there's nothing like it. I've never seen anything to equal birth. The amount of epidurals that are given to people and the Pitocin inductions and all these different things that people are induced with to bring on the baby, that's what causes a birth trauma. And one night, and that's why I work on weekends, because they do less inductions and people come in, you know, just about to have a baby, and then they have a baby, and they're not, a lot of times it's too late to get an epidural or too late to be induced. So during the week, though, they do all these scheduled C-sections, and they do all this inductions, and they put the women through so much trauma, not to mention the baby, that I just find that to be, I just sort of feel like the red fox totem where, you know, you just sort of become invisible and slide into the weekends away from administration, away from all the stuff that happens during the week. And it's really, in my opinion, the only time to work.
Hospitals are interesting places. I sometimes go, wow, it's a miracle that any healing goes on in a hospital. But the people that I know who are nurses and doctors are really, truly amazing with the environmental stressors that they have to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you guys are in there, you know, every workday doing your, you know, most that you can. I'm kind of very excited. We just submitted our application to, let's see if I get it right. It's the American Holistic Nurses Association, so that the Crystalline Consciousness Technique classes can be offered as credits.
Well, that is very exciting. I know that organization. It is wonderful.
Yeah, so that is, we just, you know, you submit the application, then you sit and wait, and they'll tell you how you didn't quite do it right. But once we get through that process, we'll be able to offer continuing education hours. So
for nurses.
In that
particular program, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think that nurses are healers, and I have a site called, I've had a blog called Nurse Healers for many years, you know, three or four years, I think that the majority of nurses may have started to be a nurse because they felt that they were healers, but then somehow they get it smashed out of them. But my message has always been to help people to see that they are healers, and they wouldn't be there if they weren't.
That's a great message. I really think so. The nurses I know are, that's what they're focused on. You know, I'm not sure, you know, the doctors are, I remember somebody in the chat room commented about an emergency C-section. I've had two of those,
mm-hmm.
And I felt very gypped. My mom always told me, oh, you're going to love those large hips someday when you have children, and I ended up with my C-section, so I was like, well, darn, couldn't I have at least had skinny hips, you know, if I was going to go through that anyway, but I remember the last, when my son was born, in the C-section, the two doctors standing over me thought I was just lying there with my eyes closed, like, what else can you do? And they start talking, so they're thinking I'm asleep. They start talking about this report that they'd read about the mortality rate after C-sections. And I thought, oh, my God, if I were asleep, it'd be going in through my subconscious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'd be hearing all that. And I finally thought, well, I want to let them, I don't think I'll yell at them. This is not a good time to be yelling. I let them know, hello, there's a person underneath, you know, here.
Yeah, yeah.
I just finally said, well, please don't leave a sponge in there. And then they were like, oh, oops. And they stopped talking. But
I know. It's true. So much has happened in the years with people like Mehmet Oz, and he had healers in his recovery room meditating for his patients, and he would never do cardiac surgery if a person was terrified of dying or whatever. And you know who I mean by Mehmet Oz. He's on the Oprah show and now has his own show, and a cardiologist, and has written a lot of books. And there's a lot of physicians who are in tune with the sensitivities of energy, and then there are a lot that aren't. So.
Yeah, you know, one of the interesting things in my line of work when I do energy healing with people is, so energy healing can run the gamut of, ta-da, ooh, it's a miracle, everybody's fine, you know, like the condition disappeared, which is, of course, really fun. But oftentimes, I'm working with somebody who's gone into a physician and they can't figure out what's wrong with them, and they go in for tests and this, that, and the other. Then I work with them, and this is what first made me recognize that physicians really do read energy, because I'd work with my clients, and then when I check in with them again, I'd say, okay, well, how's it going? Well, I went back to the doctor, and he's like, oh, you've got this. After the energy session with me, the doctor could finally figure out what it was that they had. It was this energetic clearing that went through that then their body was literally showing the doctor, here, this is what needs help. And so I'm not a, you know, all forms of healing, whether it's traditional medicine or alternative or holistic, we sort of need to have it all in our little bag of healing tricks when we're faced with something really challenging.
Yes, it's not either or, it's both and. But some people don't, upon the diagnosis of cancer, some people really don't want the chemotherapy. And we know in the world of medicine that really chemotherapy doesn't work. So it destroys the immune system. I think there's a lot of different ways to approach cancer other than the traditional ways. But, you know, I'm not a typical nurse, you know. Most nurses are,
You are not typical. I like that.
Yeah. And I rarely go to a doctor, but that's because I'm pretty healthy.
I'm the same way. I'm always stuck when somebody's like, now name your physician. I just go into that clinic if I have something, you know. It's like, oh, we have one. My doctor.
Oh, yeah.
My nurse practitioner went off to Alaska, and I'm waiting for her to come back.
So. Good for you. Or my chiropractor has helped me more than anybody in my life. He's just wonderful. And I don't go to see him that much either, but I had a torn rotator cuff, and I refused to get surgery, and I went to him and got that electric stim stuff therapy, and he did he was just so patient and loving, and you know, got me on the blood type diet, and that is a very healing diet if you have some problems, you know. And so I think there's all kinds of approaches, but more than anything, I think it all comes down to love, don't you?
Yeah, the vibration of love.
There's a
wonderful study that was done out there where some Australian scientist, where he was measuring in a ratio format, what he noticed was that a piano player, when he would touch the keys in a certain way, would provoke crying from his listeners, you know, heartfelt crying. And so he did this experiment. He put little springs on people feeling and have them think of love. And however the, you know, a feeling is a pressure. And so he would take the pressure and it'd translate into a ratio. And they tried this all around the world, so it wasn't just at one culture. The vibration of love translates into the golden mean, which is 1.6. And the golden mean, that's what everything is built around. Our DNA is built around the golden mean, the 1.6 ratio. All of the great sacred buildings use that. And so if you think about it, that love strengthens our DNA because that's the very building block ratio that's been used in that to create our bodies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm creating a lens right now about, I tried to name it All You Need Is Love, but that's, of course, been taken. So I think that you have to wonder, I think that is all you need, you know? I mean, of course you need to eat, but you know, some of the great Eastern yogis haven't eaten for years and they haven't even drank anything and they're living totally on love. So I think that is all you really need.
It is true. Although you need to have a culture that supports that, you know, we don't exactly live in a culture that supports that thought, you know, that belief system. So, our groups or cultures that we're part of really play a big part on what happens to us as well. So you'll have to move when you're ready to go that route. The United
States.
Well,
you know, I think it might be easier when you're a little older to get into that vibration because, you know, of all the busy professional stuff that happens when you're younger. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to just getting into that vibration 100% as time goes on, that's for sure. Very exciting.
Very much so. Now, is Joan's not on tonight?
Oh, I wrote to you and said that she, well, first of all, she was going to go to a dinner, and then she suddenly realized that her grandchildren are having a Christmas pageant. So they had to cancel the dinner and go to the Christmas pageant, of course, definitely. So that's where she is this evening. So she was very, she really wanted to be here with you and with us. So so you'll have to come on when she's on sometime and we can all chat for another hour.
Well, I feel so badly now. I left you all by yourself the first 15 minutes. You had to sit there and have a conversation with yourself.
Well, don't worry because the very first show, that's what happened. I couldn't bring anybody on, and it was one straight hour of me rambling about absolutely anything. And that experience helped me because it helped me, like, say, for this evening because I knew that I did it before, so I did it again, and it's no big deal. Like I said, you'll have to come back when Joan is on. She would just love you. She does love you, but it's really fun to have this added dimension to the whole scenario. So
I have to say, her voice was a little bit of a shock for me. You know, I've seen her picture and her lenses and what she writes in the forum, and I don't know, I just wasn't hearing it in this deep Southern accent. So
she sounds like, sexy, isn't it? Wow.
I'm like, whoa. Gosh, Joan, I have a whole different concept of her now from listening to her voice.
That is hysterical. Well, it's we only have 60 seconds or maybe even less left on the program. So it's been a delight. And I've enjoyed it 100%. And I would like to have you come back when Joan's on. That would be fun.
Well, thank you so much for inviting me. And, yes, now that I figured out how to do it, definitely let's do it again.
Yeah, that sounds wonderful. That sounds like a wonderful plan. So you can chat a while in the chat room, and I'll just put on some music, and we can meet over there. How's that sound?
Okay, that sounds great.
All right, thank you. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.